Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you all in here. I'm sorry that we're going to miss those who usually come on Zoom. But regardless, the show must go on. We will worship here and remember all those our faithful worshipers in our prayers. One day, a Catholic, a Baptist, and a Methodist went fishing together. They paddled out to the middle of the lake, dropped anchor, and got ready to cast their lines. Suddenly, the Catholic slapped his forehead. "I forgot the sandwiches." He calmly stepped out of the boat, walked across the water, grabbed a cooler from the store, and walked back, dry as a bone. A few minutes later, the Baptist said, "We are low on bait." He too stepped out of the boat, strolled on the water to the tackle shop, bought some worms, and returned, not even wetting his socks. The Methodist was amazed. He thought to himself that if the Catholic and the Baptist could walk on water, he sure could. He said, "I feel like today is my lucky day. I'll catch a big fish. I better run and grab a sturdy fishing rod." He stepped confidently out of the boat and immediately sank like a rock. The Catholic looked at the Baptist and said, "Do you think we should have told him about the stepping stones?" Have you ever seen someone walking on water in a swimming pool? It's on YouTube. He first swam back and forth on the water a couple of times, demonstrating that it was just an ordinary swimming pool. He then emerged from the water and walked on the surface. To finish, he jumped back in and swam on the water. Everyone was amazed, but they did not know that he had installed a thick, transparent plastic board just below water's surface across the pool. He walked on the submerged board, making it appear as if he were walking on the water. We humans have physical limits governed by the laws of physics, but angels do not. They are supernatural beings and are unbound by the physical limitations that humans face. We may differ in this regard, but both angels and God's chosen ones share a common mission to serve God and His people. This morning, we will reflect on the great commission that the resurrected Jesus gave to all His followers throughout the generations in the context of the work of angels. The work of angels provides much insight into the calls we all have received from God and how we can serve Him. The Gospel of Matthew concludes with a great commission in the 28th chapter. The 11 disciples met Jesus on a mountain in Galilee. There, Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Great Commission encompasses both its geological scope and duration. Church tradition and scholars believe that the mountain where Jesus gave the Great Commission was Mount Arbel, the highest point in Galilee, offering a panoramic view of the Sea of Galilee and the surrounding areas where Jesus spent the majority of his public ministry. From the summit of Mount Arbel, Jesus not only saw his field of mission, but also beyond it. The location aligns with the Great Commission to extend the ministry of Jesus to the ends of the earth. For how long should the Great Commission be carried out? To the end of the age, which apparently indicates the return of Jesus. Preaching the gospel and making disciples should be undertaken in the remotest places on earth until his return. And you know, I recently discovered that there are some scholars in Korea, theologians, who believe that one of the disciples, Thomas, came to the southern part of South Korea, like, you know, thousands of years ago. And there are Hebrew letters in there. Isn't it interesting? On the rock. And the drawing on the rock that look like, you know, Buddhists. Buddha. They always have thought there was a Buddha. But the hand gesture was a Christian. It was not a Buddha. And they argue. And then the vicinity of that where the rock is called a village called Thomas. Very interesting. And I mean, you know, nobody knows for sure, but there are interesting signs like that. So the Great Commission was given, and then they believe that Thomas came through India and then China. There was a Christianity preached there sometime, but then, I mean, historically, there's evidences, and then Thomas came all the way to South Korea, because that then was the end of the earth. Regardless, the Great Commission was given to preach the gospel to the end of the earth until his return. As far as I know, the Great Commission is the first instance in the New Testament where the word disciples is used to refer not to the 12 chosen ones, but to every believer. You know, being a disciple was a big deal. There were only 12, but Jesus mentioned that you go and make disciples. The word disciples is first time applied to every believer, which means every believer, like us, is called to be disciples like those 12 disciples that Jesus called. This significant shift comes with the weightiness of being a follower of Jesus. Along with this shift, the Great Commission signifies that every believer in every generation is called to be a disciple, committed to making disciples until Christ's return. The Great Commission is one of the foundations that support Martin Luther's understanding of calling. Luther argued that every believer, not just priests or pastors, is called to be a disciple. All legitimate work, whether preaching, parenting, or any other honest labor before God, is equally important in God's eyes. Luther did not believe that some callings are higher than others. He preached that the priesthood of all saints, meaning that every believer is given a sacred calling to bear witness in all we say and do. Jesus has entrusted the Great Commission to all of us. So what is our calling? To find an answer, we'll look into the walk of angels. We explored the deeply depressed emotional and psychological state of the disciples last Sunday. What was Mary Magdalene's emotional state on Easter morning? As we just read, John's Gospel tells us that she was weeping. She came to embalm the corpse of Jesus, but the body was missing. Notice how many times the Gospel repeats Mary's weeping. In verse 11, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. The angel asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Jesus repeated the same question to Mary. The repetition stresses how sorrowful Mary was. While she was in despair, two angels appeared to her in the tomb. Note here that the angels appeared inside the tomb, not outside. Inside the tomb would have been the most depressing place of all for Mary. And angels appeared to that most depressing place. Situations in which angels of God appeared throughout the scripture were similar to the situation of Mary Magdalene. So let me enumerate those instances, even though you all know them. I'm going to mention the angel's appearance in the Gospel and Acts. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and announced that she would bear God's child. Without the angel's announcement, Mary's pregnancy would have been a devastating blow for the engaged teenage girl. Joseph planned to break up the marriage after discovering that Mary was pregnant, but an angel appeared to him in a dream and explained how it happened. Angel appeared to him again in a dream and instructed him to escape to Egypt. The devil tempted Jesus when his strength was at its lowest after 40 days of fasting. When the temptation ended, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Jesus was in agony while praying in Gethsemane. An angel provided him with strength. Peter was in prison and bound with chains, but an angel appeared and freed him. Paul was on his way to Rome by ship when a hurricane struck for 2 weeks, causing everyone on board to lose hope for survival. An angel reassured Paul of safety. Angels appeared in all these instances when God's people faced life-threatening situations. They delivered God's message and provided comfort and strength. The work of angels illuminates our missions. We may not be angels, but we can be like angels, helping God's people in need when they find themselves in a situation akin to a tomb. We can share the same message as the angels. The most encouraging word to anyone without hope in complete darkness is, Jesus is alive. Jesus is with you. Jesus cares for what you are going through. Undoubtedly, a small candle we extend to someone in a tomb-like circumstance becomes like the light of an angel that transformed them. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it." We do not have to pretend to be like angels. All we have to do is to keep an open mind to the Great Commission, which has no boundaries of place and time, as how angels operate. Be ready to be used by God in any circumstance, both toward people we know and strangers. The following is a true story written by Edna Allison on the day of her daughter's wedding. Edna set up the church sanctuary beautifully with magnolias the night before the wedding of her daughter. When she returned in the morning and opened the sanctuary door, she felt a rush of hot air. The church was under an electrical storm that knocked out the air conditioning, and all the magnolias dried and died overnight. She prayed, "Lord, please help me. I do not know anyone in this town." She left the sanctuary looking for magnolia trees and spotted a house with the trees in the distance. The aged owner of the house was extraordinarily generous to her. Edna said, "Sir, you made the mother of a bride happy today." "No, ma'am," he said. "You do not understand what is happening here. You see, my wife of 67 years died on Monday. On Tuesday, I received friend at the funeral home. And on Wednesday," he paused, tears welling up in his eyes, "on Wednesday, I buried her." He looked away. "On Thursday, most of my out-of-town relatives went back home. And on Friday, yesterday, my children left. This morning," he continued, "I was sitting in my den crying out loud. I missed her so much. And for the last 16 years, as her health got worse, she needed me. But now, nobody needs me. Who needs an 86-year-old wore-out man? Nobody." I began to cry louder. "Nobody needs me." About that time, you knocked and said, "Sir, I need you." I stood with my mouth open. He asked, "Are you an angel? The way the light shone around your head into my dark living room." I assured him I was no angel. He smiled. "Do you know what I was thinking when I handed you those magnolias?" "No." "I decided I am needed. My flowers are needed." Some of us may question our calling. Why am I still here? I do not see any reason. What can I do to serve God? I don't have much to offer. While we may not be sure of our calling, one thing is certain. God continues to use us in ways we are not aware of. Our calling to serve God and God's people remains the same as before, and we are still needed here. We simply need to remain prepared to fulfill God's mission, both in season and out of season. The tune of the hymn, "O Jesus, I Have Promised," that's our closing hymn for today. The tune of the hymn, "O Jesus, I Have Promised," is called "Angel's Story." You may not have noticed, in our hymnal doesn't say that, but on the devotional hymn that I use for my meditation, it says "Angel's Story," tune of the angel's story. O Jesus, we have promised to serve thee to the end, and we will carry out the great mission until the end. When we do that, as we have promised to Jesus, we carry out the great commission that you and I, without any exception, each of us has received, whatever that calling may be. If we do that, we serve God until the day of his return. What's our life story going to be? Our life stories will be the stories of an angel. Amen.